I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
There we go. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy in studio.
They're playing our song,
they're playing
baby.
Our song. The first episode of the Touche here in 2017.
Yes.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy get together to argue about politics every Monday here in the Download, and they're back together again. The first time since right before the election. Chris, you got. I want to give you.
Yeah.
I asked. I get some time to gloat. If you have 30 seconds.
Thank you. David, you were wrong. Our guy won. He's not exactly my guy, but I'm getting to like him a lot. And we won, and Hillary is a doofus. And there you go.
All right. Let me start right there. We'll just start right on what you said. Why are you starting to like him a lot?
The appointments. But also, I like, you know, look at Ford Motor Company today, making its big announcement. It's investing $700 million here. It says we're doing this as an expression of confidence in Trump. It all comes with a big, big caveat, and that is he's got to perform. And the Republicans have got to perform, which is exactly what they have not done in the last 36 hours with this goofy, we're going to straighten out this crazy Office of Congressional Ethics, and then we're not going to do it, and then he's going to, but, you know, propinquity, right? We're all thinking about that.
Ding, 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 ding. The secret word, ladies and gentlemen.
And the, you know, Trump's already right there next to him in Congress. I mean, I'll tell you, this is a big win today for the Republicans between Ford and Trump saying, we're going to drain the swamp. You can't do this crazy thing.
Okay. Is it a big win for the Republicans? Because yesterday, 24 hours ago, it felt like this was a terrible thing for the Republicans because they tried to sneak something through. I mean, do you agree with Chris that this is a win for Republicans today?
No, it was a disaster for Republicans. I mean, the Republicans say, okay, we have total control of Washington, and the first thing we're going to do is kill independent ethics. Really? And Chris, my friend here to the left, yesterday when they came out and said that, Chris was like all over Twitter and Facebook going, that was a great move.
That was a great move.
This is redundant and who needs this? And I have to tell you, as the former chairman of the Better Government Association, I know a thing or two about investigations and independent watchdogs. What they wanted to do was to get rid of anonymous tips. They're complaining about how it's totally right.
Nope.
Anonymous tips is what was allowed under this,
MSN,
and they wanted to get rid of it. And I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Well,
they said, oh, well, we should have a right to face our accusers. Well, okay, that's great, but here in the real world, that stuff matters.
Well, you know, guys, I'm just interested because I guess when we think about the idea that Trump and the Republicans sort of, you know, are at each other in the
this is great.
Is this a thing where we're going to see a presidential elect who is coming in who is actually on his own party saying get it together
right.
in Congress?
Yeah,
right.
But slow down there, big fella, because that's not what he said today. That's not what Trump said in his tweet. His complaint was not about the substance. It was not about the changes the Republicans wanted to make. His complaint was about the timing and the priorities.
And I'll tell you why. And that's because
tell us why it's a great move. I'm still waiting.
Well, that's because this thing is a goofy idea that was put in as an experiment by Nancy Pelosi. Let's just assume it was a good-hearted attempt at the time. Hold on, don't get into that.
In response to the
Duke Cunningham and a few other Republican scandals.
Abramoff.
And what happened in this case, and there were folks who at the time, Republicans and Democrats alike, said this is a great idea because obviously the House Ethics Committee process has not proven strong enough. OK, and so let's try this. Now, there are a lot of issues about trying this, but here's what's happened. People as diverse as, say, Maxine Waters on the one hand and Peter Roskam on another have both been subjected to what are essentially, to use a term, star chamber investigations where they have run up enormous legal bills. And because of this anonymous thing that David is calling anonymous, but in fact is just political motivation. What has happened in both cases is totally groundless, baseless accusations have been made, but the OCE has proven incapable of dispensing with those quickly. And so they both spent, in the case of Maxine Waters, 18 to 24 months. And in the case of Peter Roskam, I think 24 to 36 months disproving something that never happened.
The only problem I have with that is they're not the only two. But Roskam is one of the guys who's on the committee who's like, I have an idea. Why don't we get rid of this committee that investigated me? That's just, that's the part that I think people go, all right, now we're starting to feel like they're just trying to
you've got to get things out of their way. Two things. Well,
you've got
a free press, although the mainstream media can't even get this story right. And then number two, you've got the House Ethics Committee. And number three, the House of Representatives has elections every 2 years. This is not the Senate where you send somebody off for 6 years. You know, in gerrymandered districts, you've got people who have such little chance of defeating somebody. On the substance, it's a bipartisan win. Another big thing for Republicans, which I think is good because it flushes it out right now. It shows that the congressional Republicans do not have their act together. The House Republicans do not have their act together. And if they are going to fumble something like this on the first 36 hours, they now know that they've got to have a weekend retreat and figure out what
they're
doing.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, Dave, you know, the one big thing, the Senate started the ball rolling today in repealing Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. There's been a lot of talk that that's the number one priority for Republicans. It's going to happen. They have the power and they have the presidency. But the question remains, they have nothing to replace it with. And there has been a lot of turmoil. And you've heard Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying that the cowardice of, you know, no one will step up with their own plan. I mean, do you see it as Republicans, as Chris just alluded to, this idea that they're fumbling around but trying to do these core things that they promise?
So Republicans, first of all, I have to tell you, and we've been here before when the Republicans have gotten control of Congress. And their natural instinct is to do things like they did with this ethics business. I mean, their natural instinct is not to serve the greater body politic. It's to take care of political vendettas and wish lists and all kinds of stuff. The Republicans are just as guilty of hubris as the Democrats are, often more so. So it'll be interesting to watch the next 2 years and the next 4 years how that all plays itself out. That having been said, the idea that these people, these Republicans, are going to be capable of repealing Obamacare and replacing it and doing it in a way that preserves the things that people actually love about Obamacare. And there are many things people love about Obamacare.
There are two or three, not many.
No, there's many things people love about Obamacare, including the fact that 20 million people got health care for the first time.
They were all on Medicaid or they could have been on Medicaid.
No, they're not. That's just a lie.
The fact is, Chris, come on. If you want to talk about lies, it is a lie to say that the Republicans have no alternative.
They have 100 alternatives, but they haven't built consensus around one. It's like when the governor complains about the Democrats' lack of a balanced budget and never presents one himself because he refuses to come forward.
What do you think about
revenue?
The idea of repeal and delay, which has sort of been bantied about in the press, like the idea of repealing it and delaying replacing it until a good idea comes along or four years?
Look, I think that look again. I said you asked why am I liking Trump? I'm liking Trump in large measure because of the people that he is appointing to these different cabinet posts and sub-cabinet posts. And in the case of HHS, he is appointing an orthopedic surgeon who's a distinguished congressman who has led the fight against Obamacare and who knows every ounce of this crazy piece of legislation and knows exactly what needs to be done. And when you say they haven't congealed around one, that also is in error historically. Why? Because on those many, I don't know, 25 or 30.
70.
Is it 70? 70 votes to repeal Obamacare. On most of those occasions, they did have a vote for an alternative plan. Okay, now, which one of the alternative plans? Each one of those garnered a majority on the day that it was passed and sent to Obama to die on his veto desk, whatever. And so you have got a lot of, I would say, fluency on the Republican side. Now, about the repeal and delay. You've got a very complex when the federal government seeks to take over 1/6 of the economy, it is a big and complex activity. And it was done, as we all know, in a half-assed fashion by a bunch of power crazy Democrats who were unleashed upon the nation and jamming this thing down everybody's throat because that's what Democrats like to do. And so what you have got is a teeming, steaming, smelly mess. And these guys are not, the Republicans are not going to just, you know, get in there and erase sections of the bill and then have innocent collateral victims out in the neighborhoods who are people like David just erroneously said, are only getting health care because of Obamacare. They're getting health care because of Medicaid and expansion, but they've still got, there can't be any.
So what happens?
Up.
Tell me, the layman. I mean, what happens when, if they go and repeal this right away, which is the idea, what happens? I mean, did they burn the midnight oil and they come up with an alternative plan right away? Or do they say it was good before Obamacare? Why mess with this?
I would say two things. There is going to be a big, massive replacement measure. And what you're going to see is probably on a reconciliation vote, so you don't have to go through the issues in the Senate with the cloture vote. You're going to see elements of Obamacare fade away and elements of the new plan take their place. But it's got to be done in a very subtle way because Obamacare is so vast and far-reaching because it represents Democrats' desire to control everything in society for the benefit of their public employee union.
No, if they wanted Democrats' desire to control things, they would have had Medicare for all or a public option. The fact is Obama was trying to appeal to Susan Collins and Olympia Snow of Maine to get their votes.
And he couldn't even do that.
And by doing so, he kept giving away. Look, Obama was a terrible.
Just like with Russia.
He was a terrible negotiator.
Oh, just like with Iran.
Early on, he was a terrible negotiator.
And the UN.
Would you stop? He was negotiating against himself for so long and gave away the public option, gave away Medicare for all. And as a consequence, the plan that he came up with is one that, frankly, was never great. And it was one that was filled with compromises. But it is reckless. It is reckless.
It would be reckless to just wipe it out.
No, it is reckless to repeal this thing without a replacement in place.
We'll make sure. We'll definitely be on top of this. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio. Touche. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue breaking down what we can expect from the early days of 2013. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
It's Touche, the first one of 2017. Here, 720 WGN before the break. It said 2013, which I don't even know where that comes from. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio. Touche, which we do every Monday. It's Tuesday, of course, tonight, but every Monday here on 720 WGN, the download. All right, so let's talk. We talked a little bit about what's happening with Congress. Let's talk about the appointments. Chris, you've been already fawning over the appointments that have been. One appointment in particular, the Attorney General, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions. Today, a lot of activity. His office was sort of taken over by protests in Alabama and Mobile. There also was a letter that was sent by
trial lawyers.
Who was it?
It was 1,100 law professors in the United States.
So what means no greater recommendation, as far as I'm concerned.
I knew Chris would love
that. If there are 1,100 law professors who say he's no good, he's our guy. He's
what do you
what
say?
We
I mean,
1,100 law professors in 48 states.
So what does this mean? I mean,
well,
could this be
Obama,
the first?
I know thinks there are 57.
Could this be the first appointment that is sort of in hot water for President-elect Trump? Or you think this is just the way it usually works when you put someone who's controversial?
I think Democrats are gonna do their best to raise hell about many of the appointments. You know, for all the reasons that Chris loves them, because really they're Pence appointments, not Trump appointments, other than Tillerson, which is a Trump appointment. But all these others are like extreme right wingers who don't believe in the agency they're
required.
No, they don't believe in the agency they're required
MSM
to lead.
MSM distortion. Yeah, you're mainstream media now. You're equivalent. You're like one of those talking heads on TV.
So when you have these guys like Jeff Sessions, who's responsible for enforcing the Voting Rights Act and doesn't believe in the Voting Rights Act, or you have people like Pruitt, who's going to be responsible for running an agency that he not only doesn't believe in, but he also doesn't believe in climate change, which, of course, Chris believes is the Chinese hoax. And you have appointment after appointment after appointment. But I think that the real trouble Trump is going to have is probably not with those guys. It's with Tillerson. The Russia thing is a huge deal, and Tillerson is going to be a
before we move on.
Oh yeah, that ExxonMobil share price really shows what a bad guy Tillerson is.
That's how we judge things now in our technocratic fascist country.
The guy is
country,
a spectacularly successful international executive.
Putin
the
lover.
People No, the people have voted for change and whatever the heck we had going. And I'll tell you, I did hear a very interesting tape with John Kerry. I don't want to get too diverted, but I actually was kind of sympathetic to Kerry. It's a tape that's circulating about his 28-minute meeting with the Syrian activists from about a year ago that the Times. It's a fascinating listen. It's out there on the web. Try and find it. But no, the people want to change. I mean, look, Obama so-called foreign policy has brought the United States into the worst reputation and the worst, I would say, stance in the world.
Has it, though?
No, it hasn't.
I mean, that seems it's very subjective.
No. It's we have failed in Libya. We have failed in Syria. We failed in Yemen. Our friend in Yemen is barely hanging on to his life. I mean, you've got Oman, which is now completely compromised by Iran, which is transshipping its materiel through Oman to get to Yemen. There's no way for Oman is a friend of the West. They're a friend of the United States. They can't say no to Iran. They're right there. They're next to the big bear of Iran. And this is all because of a failure on Obama's part. But getting back to Tillerson, we've got no place to go but up. And I want to say, you got a guy like Pruitt who goes into court and succeeds in suing the Environmental Protection Agency. My friend David, an officer of the court, ought to be cheering this kind of guy, because what he did and what others have done, what other attorney general from around the country and the state level have done, is brought EPA back to the moorings of the law.
Yeah, but
when you're a liberal activist, you only want a result. You don't care how you get there, and that's why people disinform the public.
Well,
the
problem I have with that is that you may be right in the way that you've seen Obama's administration trip and stumble over how they execute these big sweeping changes to the way we live our lives, whether it be the EPA or whether we see gay marriage, other things. That it always has to go through a process.
Guys
and process,
girls' bathrooms.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And the question, though, at the end of the day, and I think this is where politics gets sort of involved, is that using the courts in that way, can we all say together as one to say, yeah, we all kind of do believe that the planet is in disarray when it comes to its environment. Why? I mean, yes, maybe Pruitt can go into a court and stop it. But does that the guy running?
No. Hold on.
Is that the guy we want running?
Pruitt, wait, whoa. That's a misinformation. Did not go and say, I'm going to use the court to stop the EPA from doing, you know, from saying that there's climate change. Okay. There are a lot of people out there who say there's climate change. Nobody's trying to go to court to make. Actually, there are people who support climate change.
He's trying to say that the government.
He was going on the Administrative Procedure Act, and he was saying that the EPA was not following its rules relative to various rule makings in which it was engaged.
But why did he do that?
He would do that because he was proven right. There is an Administrative Procedure Act, Justin, so that, I'm sorry, has been proven wrong in court more frequently than the Obama administration.
Right, because,
and that's because they don't follow the law. They're interested in results, not in process.
But I guess that's my point, though. My point is that I think that at the American people, they do want results in the process. At some point or another, there needs to be some question about people every time being able to go to a court or a higher court or another court and strike down overtime rules or EPA rules.
But Justin, if they don't follow the rules to get to a administrative, if they don't follow the framework to get to an administrative rule, if the rule is not properly made, then what that means, perforce, is some element along the way has been compromised. And the reason we've got this whole administrative structure is to make sure that everybody can have their say.
Or it means that Republicans like to throw out policy on the basis of technicalities. Rumor has it Republicans used to scream about throwing out criminal cases when it was about technicalities. But when it's about environmental protection, you use every means necessary to stop the environmental protection.
That is simply wrong.
That's a complete falsehood. It's not complete falsehood. You know, Chris, you look at what the EPA has accomplished in this country in terms of clean air. Just clean air. We can talk about water, too.
Is an amazing story.
Just in terms of clean air, when you look at the global dirtiest cities of the top 1,000 global cities in the world, Do you know how many American cities are on that list?
Zero. And this is
why. And the reason is because environmental protection, over the objection of people like Chris, who did not like the Clean Air Act, the first Clean Air Act, did not like the revised Clean Air Act, do not believe in climate change, and all those objections that you raise, is the reason we have clean air and clean water other than Flint, Michigan.
The only problem with David's argument is the truth.
And yes, my argument is the truth.
Just point out the truth
real quick.
EPA was started by Richard Nixon. It was started by a passel of Republicans. And if you
you have abandoned those principles.
If you go back and you look at the EPA policies that have been ruled out of line by courts of law, they are overwhelmingly products of either the Clinton administration or the Obama administration.
Well, we'll have to pick up this conversation next week. Dave Lundy, Chris Robley, a stirring start to 2017.
We're back, baby.
Thanks for joining me, guys.